When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan, to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground.
We are finishing off our series. Remember, some of our minds might have gone a bit dull about this. We did a series on Elijah. Might seem a long time ago, but we've had 2 week break from it because we had our mission partner, Michael Baldwin, couple of weeks ago, and then Alex did a talk from Luke. But because we had Michael came, we didn't get to finish our series on Elijah, and we've got to one of the best bits. So I thought we'd finish our series on Elijah. But because our minds might have forgotten who he is and the things he's done, I've got a little sequence to try and help us remember what God has did. So repeat after me. We'll go through it. Ready? Drought. Ready? Drought. Ravens. Do you remember the ravens feeding him? Widow and son. Do you remember them? He was dead. He came back to life. God used Elijah. Mount Carmel. When the fire came down, do you remember that? God defeated all the enemies in front of him. Then we had the whisper on the mountain. The whisper on the mountain. When Elijah went, it not worked, this big, amazing display on the mountain. God sent Elijah all the way to the famous Mount Sinai, where the law had been given. But rather than giving him a big explosion of, he gave him a whisper. God is working in a different way. And Elijah was a bit disappointed, but got back on with his job. Then we had the vineyard. The vineyard. I know we keep going. The vineyard where Naboth had a vineyard. The horrible King Ahab stole it from him and killed Naboth. And then Elijah came and brought judgment on that king. Do you remember that? And finally, we had King Ahaziah. You don't have to say that. King Ahaziah, who thought he could boss Elijah around, but couldn't. Elijah, in the midst of what was a really horrible, dark time, where nobody really followed Jesus. I don't know if you've ever felt alone by yourself when nobody is like you. All the people who followed God then felt like that. Everybody else, it seemed like there was nobody around who followed the true God. But Elijah was like their hope. He was the one guy who was like blessed by God and was sticking up for him. And God was using to kind of bring justice and judgment and grace where God's people really needed it. The thing is today, I don't know if you remember this, when you know what this is like, but I think you can probably associate it with when great people we know finish their job or come to the end of their life. Does anyone remember in this country when the Queen died? How many years ago is that? It's a few. I can remember there being a bit of a build-up to it. And it felt a bit like the whole nation, probably not the whole nation, but certainly some of the nation was on a bit of an edge. She'd been in charge for 60 years, and as she was coming to the end of her life, people started to feel it. What will it be like when she's gone? Will there be somebody as good as her? She was so good with people like Donald Trump. I don't know what she thought about him, but, you know, she was so good with these rulers because she'd been around on the throne 60 years. Maybe you feel it if you're a football fan and your manager who is so good. Maybe if you're a Manchester United fan, when Sir Alex Ferguson finally resigned and stood down, is it ever going to be the same? Probably not. It will never be as good as when he was in charge. Elijah, here, he's coming to the end of his time on earth, and everyone knows about it. If you've got a Bible and you are following the reading, it's on page 369. Just take a look down at the start of chapter 2. When the Lord, it says, was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, we'll park the whirlwind thing for now, that's unusual, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. We have been told it straight from the start. And as it goes through the passage, Elijah's saying, I'm going now. He says to Elijah, you just stay here. But Elijah won't. He wants to stick with his friend, his father, if you like, his spiritual father. And as they go down, they follow these steps that God takes Elijah on. Elijah sticks with him. Elijah is like his following, he's like his apprentice. And they follow these roads. If you've got one of these sheets, now's the time to listen. They follow this road from Gilgal down to Bethel, down to Jericho, down to the Jordan. And at each stage, you get the same repeated phrases, which almost builds the tension in the passage. And at the same stage, you get these prophets who also know what's going on. And each time this company of prophets come to Elijah and they ask, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Do you know? And he says every time, yes, I know. But don't speak of it. In other words, keep quiet. Don't make a fuss. This has to happen. It happens at Bethel, a famous place where idolatry had started, where Jeroboam had done that awful stuff that we learnt about a few weeks ago. Then it happens at Jericho, which was the first city God's people came to when God's people came into this special land. And then it happens again at the Jordan River, which was the river they crossed to come into the promised land. Now, there's a reason these three places, particularly Jericho and the Jordan, are mentioned here, and why Elijah has to follow this path. There's a point to what God is doing here. And the clue is in the thing that Elijah has to do next. Now, I've got some aids to help. One of them is a bowl of warm water. The only reason it's warm is because I couldn't figure out how to put that weird hat tap on cold. If you've ever tried to use it, it's a nightmare. And would anyone like to come and hold my bowl of water? Don't all volunteer at once. It's a prestigious job. And what I need you to picture in your mind, Ian, as you hold this bowl of water, I want you to picture yourself as a mighty river. And I would like somebody else to be Elijah. Would anyone else like to be Elijah? That needs to be lower, Ian, if you can bend it. Right, so this, Do you know what this is, King? What is this?
Elijah.
It's not Elijah. This is a cloak. An old word for it is mantle. If you've got your sheets, that might be important. Can I put this on you, my friend? Yes. So turn yourself around. This is a cloak. So everybody had a cloak back then. Because it was like the key piece of, it was nice and warm, like this one, very warm. It was a key piece of clothing because you could use it for loads of things. It would keep you warm. It could be a nice blanket. And if at night time you were outside and you had to sleep, which a lot of people did, the cloak was like your duvet. You'd wrap it around you and it would keep you warm. So cloaks were super useful. But also, cloaks were signs. So this cloak was a sign that Elijah's cloak was a sign of his authority as well. But when they get to the Jordan River, remember, they're at this river, they've gone on this journey. Elijah's about to disappear and go to be with God. But on his journey, they get to this river and they have to cross it. And God has told Elijah to cross the river. So he's like, ha, how are we going to do that? But because Elijah was this great prophet and God had given him this power, what Elijah did, you ready? He took his cloak off. Perfect. But he didn't throw it on the floor mindlessly. He then rolled it up. And then, yes, I know, Elijah was bigger than King. So it wasn't quite as... And then he came to the Jordan River, floating along. Floating? Yeah, excellent. Come on over. And what he did is he hit the river with the cloak. I'll help you. You get it up nice and big. And he went... And it was nice and warm though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
very warm. And you know what happened? If most of us hit a river with a cloak, like it's just happened now, what's happened to the river, Ian?
It's separated.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, sorry.
Normally, what's happened, it hasn't separated. It's just all the same. Let's just get verification. Is that water looking the same as it was? It's a little bit more shaky, but it's not done anything miraculous, has it? You have it back.
Miraculously wet.
That's not miraculous. That's incompletely intended. And but what happened when Elijah hit it, you can see it in your Bibles, is the water split, and it says this phrase, from the right to the left. It split apart. This was a massive river, and it split apart. The river completely split apart. And then they walked through it. Now, people who read their Bibles regularly or might have been coming to church for a while, that will have, something in their heads, in their brains, might have gone off then. Ding, 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 ding. Because that's happened before twice. It happened in the Exodus. Famous story in the Exodus where God split the Red Sea when God's people were fleeing from Pharaoh in Egypt and they walked through it and then the waters covered up. Again, after God's people have gone through, it shows that God is in power, in charge of everything. But it also happened a second time when God's people were at the very same river when they were coming into the promised land and God was with them and they were coming in to take possession of it. And a man with a special box walked into the river and it split and all of the hundreds of thousands of God's people walked through. Why does this little thing happen just when Elijah is about to go? Well, you imagine it, can't you? When everybody else around you, most of them don't follow God. We can relate to that, can't we? Because we're Christians who follow Jesus, and most people around us don't follow him. So it's not very easy. Because people think you're weird, it's difficult. When you try to tell him that, you know, it can ruin friendships, all sorts of stuff. It's hard. And when your leader, who has been the one standing up for you and been doing great things and keeping you going, is about to go, you can be really shaky. But God seems to be teaching these people who are looking from afar something, these prophets who are looking from afar in Elijah and us who are reading, even when everything looks like it might fall apart, God is still the same God with the same power to part the seas. So you can trust him. And for us as Christians, who followed Jesus, who parted the greatest sea, that gap between life and death, and will take us one day to be with him forever, and has given us his Holy Spirit, we can have even more confidence that God is still the same God. He's with us, and he's on our side, even if everything around doesn't look how we would like it to look. Isn't that cool? That's really cool, I think. It's really encouraging. So we're going to take a pause there, and we're going to have our second bit of the reading now, which Jan's going to bring for us.
When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So those of you with sheets, younger people, how are we getting on? You would have probably picked the letters up. You've gone Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. And now we're at point five. Point five, where it says Elijah is taken up. So we left the story when they just crossed through the other side of just crossed through the river. And there had been these companies of prophets. You know, you might have noticed how the story kind of focused in on Elijah and Elisha. There was a company of prophets watching from afar, then another company of prophets. Then there was 50 of a company from the prophets watching as they go across the river. And then it says, only Elijah and Elijah walked along. And Elijah has stuck with his spiritual father, Elijah. And we know from the story that Elijah is apparently going to be the guy that takes over from Elijah. But Elijah has just done that thing with his now very wet cloak, I imagine. And he's on the other side, and he turns to Elijah straight away and says, "What is it?" Let's get the exact words. He says, Elijah said to me, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" And Elijah asks, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." That might seem a bit selfish, but the double portion was just the amount of stuff that a firstborn son would have inherited. So he's saying to Elijah, "Let me be like your firstborn son and inherit the spirit, the strength and the power that God has given you." But for Elijah, it's not for him to grasp, to grant. Because none of that strength that Elijah had when he did all of those amazing things was his. It all came from God. And so he says this slightly cryptic thing. "You've asked a difficult thing, yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." And the story leaves us on tenterhooks. Is Elijah going to inherit Elijah's ministry? Is he going to be the one that continues it on? or will God end that ministry here? The great man is leaving. He'd been in charge for so long, in a sense. He's going to go. What is going to happen next? Can you feel the tension? And all they were doing was walking along, just side by side, walking along. And suddenly, like that, not very loud, is it? Something remarkable happened. Now, I reckon we can try and act this out. It'll be quite fun. Would anyone like to volunteer? George certainly can. Come on, George. I need one more person. So one of us needs to be Elijah. One of us needs to be Elijah. One of us needs to be a horse. One of us needs to be a chariot.
I'll be the horse.
You'll be the horse. Good news, the horse is on fire.
Oh, no.
But it's not bothered. It's not like, oh no, I'm on fire. It's like, oh, fire. You know, like supernatural fire. And the chariot is also on fire, but not in a bad way. It's supernatural fire. So if you can get your mindset into that, great. And you're Elijah. Now, that's been lobbed down there. And what's going to happen is we're going to walk a bit. And you need to get between me and Elijah. And we'll probably... Elijah's going to go that way, and you need to be here in between, and I won't be able to see him. And then when you get to there, you need to imagine being taken up to heaven in a wind.
Yeah.
You got it? And then just take yourself out of church.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? I'm going to get the Bible.
With the chariot?
No. Have you not read this story?
No.
This is why you need to come. So... you're not being taken in a chariot. The chariot gets in between you and the wind. So you're not taken up on a chariot. That's what often people think about. Chariots get between you and me. Elijah and Elijah split us off. But I do get to see you going. You ready?
Okay.
So we're just walking along, having a chat. And all of a sudden, you go that way. These horses go a bit further down. And then, yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's it. And Elijah cries, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah, you stay there, you guys, don't go too far. You don't go out with him. And Elijah saw him no more, and the chariots kind of just faded away. The reason we acted out, just to get there was something that happened. These supernatural chariots came in the way of Elisha and Elijah. And the important thing is, though, Elijah was taken up to heaven, which has happened only once before when Enoch was taken up to heaven. It's a remarkable thing. No one could find where he went. He definitely went up to heaven, according to this. And that's why everybody in the New Testament thought that he might return again, because he'd never been buried anywhere. Elijah had been taken up to heaven, but guess who saw it? Elijah saw it. And that means... because Elijah had said to Elijah, if you see me as I'm taken out of heaven, Elijah will inherit this double portion. There is one more thing to say about the chariots and the fire. We think it's like a bit random. Like, why is this like weird chariot just coming on? What you need to understand about chariots is that they were terrifying, and they were like the equivalent of army tanks back then. If you saw a chariot coming down the street, it'd be like the rumbling of a tank through your town. They were mighty, mighty fighting vehicles. And so the fact that there were army tanks, if you like, between Elijah and Elijah, God's making a point. He's saying, I'm the one. He's reassuring them, I'm the one who is fighting for you, even though you can't see it. And that has always been the case for God's people. God has always been fighting for them. Especially New Testament Christians. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us if we're on his side? All that stuff you get in Romans 8. Because Jesus has died and risen for you and sent you his Spirit, he is fighting for you constantly, giving you everything you need to keep going. There's a lot of meaning in that picture. But finally, just to reassure... When Elijah, Elijah kind of sums up the point of the whole passage right at the end. And he says a famous verse, and it's in verse 14. He gets back to the Jordan River, where there's the cloak, Elijah's cloak, which meant so much, didn't it? We saw what it meant because he just rolled it, Elijah just rolled it up, and he just smashed the Jordan River with it, and the whole river had split. So what does Elijah say? He raises the question everybody has been asking. What's going to happen when Elijah goes? He says, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Has he left us? And what's the answer? Has he left them? No. Say it a bit louder. Has he left them? No. Because Elijah just turns up to the river with the same cloak. Elisha does. I'm getting these confused. Turns up to the river with the same cloak. He hits the water again, and the water splits, and he walks back. God confirming he was on their side before when he split the water. God doing it again. Now Elijah has gone and Elijah has taken over. Elijah then heads back to Jericho and he does this amazing miracle. He goes up to Bethel and he brings a bit of judgment where people are rejecting God. Elijah has been given the role. God is still with his people, even though nobody and so many people don't follow him in that land. God is still with his people who do. And he's given them Elijah to help them. God is always with you. The Lord never leaves his people. He always stays with them. So when you're feeling like you're the only one, remember this story. The Lord stays with his people. He doesn't leave them. There is nothing else like that in the whole of the universe that you can be sure of. Jesus died and rose again. He sends you his spirit. He's with his church. He will never leave you. And he'll take you over the greatest river one day to be with him forever. Isn't that good news? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this little picture of your faithfulness to your people. Even when so many people rejected you, you were with Elijah. And then you were with Elijah. Lord, we need this reminder because often it feels like we're all alone following you. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters here, which do encourage us. But when we go out into our worlds where we're often the only Christian, it can feel hard and lonely. Encourage us today by your Spirit with these words that we might be strengthened to keep following you and serving you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.